Okay, Nathan, I asked Pastor Chris if we could do the Lord's Prayer today. He has all the confidence in the world. You could have handled a responsive reading, but it seems weird to do that responsively. It's a group thing. That's why it went that way. To do a sermon, Shirley likes to have things kind of ahead of time, and I'm not a kind of ahead of time person normally. But I did give her a title earlier this week, so I get one mark on the good side for that. It's even more amazing, and as I thought about it and as things went on, I changed it to say, even more amazing, or following Jesus. You know how you can switch titles? It's this or that. And then even this morning, I thought, it's even more amazing and following Jesus. So it isn't like we switched gears, it's just like we added to it. One of our sons and I recently started a Bible study that we're doing through email. It has been sporadic. We're not real consistent, but rewarding. Today's sermon is based on a story from Luke that we had been studying together. There's an email from Chris looking for someone to preach today because he's in Colorado with his graduation. And normally I just jump on things like that because I love to do that. But this time I listened to my wife, prayed and pondered before responding. And it so happened that I was reading Luke 7, 11 through 17 in preparation to respond to my son's. He has questions that he had given me from those verses. And it just became clear that that's what I wanted to use for the sermon. Usually when I'm asked to do devotions or a sermon, I come up with a topic, and then I dig through the Bible to find things that go along with it, and I don't think that's the way it's supposed to go. And this time it was so cool because I had the passage ahead of time, and it was just a matter of digging around and seeing what God had to say to me through that. So I was almost ready to respond to Chris, and again, one of the few times in my life, I checked the calendar to make sure it was a good Sunday and I wasn't going to be somewhere else. And I looked at it and it said, May 13th, Mother's Day. And I thought, Mother's Day? I already picked the passage. I thought that was from God. We were supposed to do that, and now it's Mother's Day. I have to switch gears. And then I looked it up, and it's about a mother who has a son die. And I thought, cool, that was a double winner. I got a Mother's Day-ish Bible verse. And it's the one I was thinking of doing anyway. So it seemed right, and we'll see what we get from this today. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, make this message one that is pleasing to God. The Father is lifting up Jesus the Son, and it's eye-opening for me as I listen to what you have to say to me, and I pray that something from my words will be helpful or useful for the people, my brothers and sisters who are here with me right now. So, Luke 7, 11 through 17, I'm using the New International Version, the NIV. That's what's in the pews. If you want to follow along, that's fine. Scott asked me yesterday, we were here for the funeral, he said, what's the Bible verse? He wanted to know ahead of time, and I said, Luke 7:11. Now, 7:11 is pretty easy to remember. I thought that would be a catchy one. And Luke, you got to think, what's Luke? Just pick the gospel. I have to memorize that. And so he got out his phone, and he looked it up, and he read one verse. He said, that's not going to make much of a sermon. It starts out with, soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples in a large crowd went along with him. I said, no, Scott, when you have these, it says Jesus raises a widow's son, and it's like a whole paragraph. That was just the first verse, so he was okay with that, and we can go on. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. Last weekend, Saturday, Sue and I went to a funeral in Burlington. First time we'd been there in years. It was so cool to be back, and we went to a funeral, and the funeral procession was down Roosevelt, which is the highway that is the busiest street in town, and we had like 50 cars, I'm sure, some with a little flag so you knew you were safe, people knew who you were, and the rest of us just following. We drove through town hoping that people on the cross streets would stop rather than crash into it. We survived, we made it, but it made me think of this funeral procession, how different this was. But it had a large crowd from town who was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bier stood still. I thought about this procession last week. A police car comes along and stops. Everybody, hold it right here. And he gets out and he says, "Oh, I want to look in the hearse." I mean, can you imagine what that would have been like? It didn't happen that way in Burlington. We went to the procession, the lady wasn't raised, and we just went to the cemetery. It was normal. They were all filled with awe. Oh. "Young man," I said, "do you get up?" The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. I mean, what a story for a mother to have happen to her, a mother who has but one son and her husband is dead. The people were filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. So that was an amazing story. That was an amazing, true story. It really happened. What greater gift could Jesus give to this mother than to restore her only son to life? So here's the Mother's Day's message today. Mothers, when you are grieving about anything, mothers, we all, I'm sure, you all grieve about something with your children. When you're grieving about anything regarding your children, believe that Jesus' heart is going out to you. It says it right here to this mother, and you know he loves all mothers. Jesus' heart is going out to you, and he is saying, "Don't cry." The response to your prayer may not be as dramatic as this, but we can say with assurance, God has come to help his people, and he is with you as a mother. Now, before we see what else is in this message, I have a couple videos I want to show. The first one is one that my wife found for me, and she showed it to me on the phone, and you know how you see different videos that are truly amazing. I don't know, I saw it on her phone, and then I saw it on my computer, and up on the screen, it's just really fascinating. And you guys know that when you get different YouTube videos, and you look at, oh my gosh, that is so amazing. Sue wants to go to Holland, and I said, no, I don't have a passport. I'm safe for now. I'm going to Holland to see this. The first video, that was kind of an amazing thing, but the video from Nain was so much more incredible. It is just, I mean, it's hard to believe that it happened just as it said it did. So, I came up with 6 things I learned about Jesus in this passage. Jesus had disciples, and you know that disciples are students of a teacher, leader, or philosopher. That's what the dictionary says. And many people were following him in this story. Jesus had compassion for the woman. His heart went out to her. I learned that Jesus didn't like to see a woman cry. He said, "Don't cry." He spoke and acted with authority. "Young man, I say to you, get up." Can you imagine that? Jesus became known through all the country as a great prophet. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Jesus had power over death. The dead man sat up and began to talk. And when you look at those, the first 5 items are kind of neat, but the 6th one goes beyond neat, and that is just something amazing. I think about today, and they're athletes, they're politicians, musicians, scientists, artists that have followings, people that follow them, people that you could almost say were disciples. Most people today, I think even at school, when I'm at school with a bunch of kids, most people have compassion for one person or another. You just see it all the time. Compassion is not unusual. Most, I believe, men do not like to see women cry. I don't know, guys, I'd hate it to see a woman crying. There are lots of people who speak with authority and act with power. Police, yes, moms and dads, they speak with authority. Bosses, teachers, judges, and more. Jesus spoke with authority, but that's not uncommon. People speak with authority. There are even those that are known throughout their community that are kind of visionaries of the community. You can think in Dubuque of different people. I know each year they have an award that the TH puts out for the leader of the year, or the visionary of the year. But how about the one on power over death? I don't know of anyone that has that power today. You see, doctors and nurses, they have a little power to delay death, but there is no one that has power over death. I'd have to say the video of the guy in Holland making these beasts that are going to live on the beach was pretty unusual and amazing, but the one about Jesus was one of a kind. There is no one like Jesus, and that's why I had the title, Even More Amazing. You get it? One was cool. This was even more amazing. So, how should I respond to this video? I'm going to show my technological failures and tie these things together, and you'll say, he doesn't get that, but some of you won't get it any more than me, so it won't matter. I can ignore this video and say, well, there's other videos to watch. At home, I got a mouse, and it's got this little button in the middle. You just go down, and it goes, and if you got a phone, you can go back and forth. You get to the next one, on and on you go. Or I could like it. If you're on Facebook, you can say you like something, and it has this little symbol, you know, the little heart symbol. I can say I really love it. And then I could follow. Isn't that one of them, that you follow people on something or other? I could follow it. I could cultivate a relationship with Jesus and become a new person. You guys are getting the picture, I hope. The things that Jesus did in this video were beyond anything done in the past and anything in the future. It is truly amazing. Pastor Chris would be up here now saying, guys, he would be ecstatic about this, saying, this is it, Presbyterians and all of it. Don't you get the picture? Right? Pastor Chris would be that way now. And so this is in honor of him being away today. Okay, at some schools, they play a game called Kahoot. You guys ever done Kahoot at school? And Kahoot is a game where they have up on the screen some questions, and the teacher prepares the questions and puts them up there, and the kids get to use their phone if they're in a certain school that allows phones, and if they don't allow phones, they're using a laptop, and they're kind of hooked up to the computer and to the game, and as the picture goes up and the words with what the A, B, C, or D choices are, kids think and think and think, and then they push down which one it is, and then magically on the screen, it shows that of the 22 kids, 18 got it right, 3 got it this one wrong, and this one got this one right, and they see right away. And at the end of all the questions, you see how everybody did, and you say, this student was the winner on this Kahoot. So, on the screen, I don't have this. You don't have to participate today. Don't get your phones out or your laptops out. This is an old-fashioned verbal one. We're playing a game of Kahoot. We're going to ignore the video. Are we going to like the video? Or are we going to follow Jesus after seeing the video? And I know you guys are my brothers and sisters in Christ. You're members here. And I know that everybody here, when you became a member, they asked the questions, do you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And we all say, yes, I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I know that he died on the cross to take the punishment for my sins. And I know that I've repented and I've turned from my sins and I'm following Jesus, and I want the Holy Spirit to empower me day in and day out. we are all on the same page, and every one of you would put up here on the screen, we would get 100% the right answer, which is to follow Jesus. We get it. But what does that mean to me personally? And how is it that it happens? I mean, how does it happen for me personally to follow Jesus? So that's the sermon. We go from even more amazing and following Jesus. But that wasn't the finish of the sermon. I got more to tell you. You know, there's the parable of the sower. It's from Luke also. And it's where he scattered the seeds, and then the guys couldn't figure it out, his disciples. And so Jesus said, okay, guys, I'll explain it to you. And the first one, verse 12, those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And whenever you read through these, there's always one that hits me, and I say, yep, that's me. This one isn't me. I'm beyond this one. I got that one. The second batch, those on the rocky ground, are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. There again, I can go beyond that one. That's not me. I don't think of that one. Then I get to the third one, and ka-ching, that's the one that I always say, oh, there I am. I'm supposed to be on number four, and it seems like I'm stuck on number three. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. That's the one I always think, oh, God, am I there? Am I in this one? Where am I? The last one is the right answer, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Now, you knew I'd get into a gardening somewhere on this one when we get to the crop part. I have some more pictures that Shirley is going to put up on the screen, and we'll see how many I have time for. In my life, I have things that are worries, riches, and pleasures. That's the third one. This is a pleasure. Rachel left her camera for me to use, and I take pictures of birds, and I've watched and fed birds since I was a little kid. I love to do that. Next. This is a worry. Recycling. I want to not throw stuff in the trash. I want to save the recycle stuff, but it always fills up. Next. Oh, don't show my workbench. That's my workbench, sorry. Talk about worries. Next, that's enough of that. I love to feed the birds, and I have a bird bath out. I go out every morning since for the last couple of weeks and have filled it. Next. My wife got me a second watering can. I can't keep up with watering all my plants, so now I have two watering cans to do it. Next. That's the deck. If you haven't seen our deck, we've stained it how many times? Rachel stained the entire thing herself once, and it's crummy again. Another worry. Next. Oh, that's a cherry tree. Do you see how these have memories with them? We bought this in Michigan. It was about this long. We had it in the car. We had it between the seats. We brought it clear home. We planted it on Carter. We moved. We took it to our next house. We planted it. We went out and pulled the evil June bugs off of it. We did everything we could to do it, and my worries just are still there. It's dying. Next. Gardening. These are my onions. For the first time in my life, some of my onion plants actually died with this evil cold weather that we had. More worries and cares and concerns. Go. Next. Oh, look at the apple tree. Can you imagine how many apples I'm going to have to pick up off the ground this fall when they fall down if I don't remember to spray them to kill all the lousy worms that get on there? Next. This is a strawberry pot. One year we had strawberries in it, and one year we had begonias in it. Last year we had pansies in it. I have that to look forward to doing. This one is a pleasure. It's a pleasure doing that. Next. The crack between this, next to the house, there's water that goes down and gets into the basement if you're down. How many times have I filled that crack? Worries and cares and concerns. Next, Shirley. That's the crack in the driveway. It's supposed to look black, but it's gravy with age and has all these cracks, and I have all these tubes and my worries and cares and concerns. Next. We're going to stop with this, and I don't want to tell any of these. This is for my wife for Mother's Day from me. I got this plant and a couple of flowers, and she's going to put a couple ivy plants in with it. And believe it or not, this is no longer a concern or a worry. I planted it yesterday in a big pot. It is just a pleasure now. So, I hope you guys see all the worries, riches, and pleasures in my life, and I hope you all can relate in one way or another. Are some of these worries and cares and concerns okay? Do I have too many? Do I need to change? What's Jesus calling me to do? I want to identify with the fourth batch of seeds, but sometimes I get stuck on the third batch. So how do I become a follower of Jesus, doing exactly what he wants me to be doing with my life so that at the end there, persevering to produce a crop? I can give you a lot of church answers. We could all pray, read the Bible, fellowship, evangelize, worship. You know the list. We've all got the list, yes? But is the crop evident in my life? Is it the kind of crop that it should be? Do I have the correct balance between dealing with worries, riches, and pleasures, and persevering to produce a crop? So, I'm not giving you any answers today. This is a question, sermon. I'm issuing myself a challenge. And I'm also accepting this challenge. The challenge is for me to examine what it means for me personally to follow Jesus. I'm going to spend a lot of time pondering, praying, reading, and listening to God. I want to know what he has in mind for me as a follower of Jesus. I want to persevere and bear a crop. And this isn't, sometimes I take that literally and think, okay, I got to go home and just do gardening. No, it's not just the gardening crop. There is a bigger crop, the one that relates to the verse about storing up riches in heaven. That's the end of the sermon. But at the end of the book, they have this word, and I think I got it right, called epilogue. Epilogue. I think that's when the book is finished, but you want to say just a little bit more. This is an epilogue. After I speak, whether it's a kid's sermon or whether it's the devotions or whether I get to be up here in the pulpit, typically a lot of people will come up to me and talk about one of the examples. I can remember doing a guitar children's sermon, and I had conversations about guitars after that. And I know someone is going to come up here and offer a solution to the crack in my driveway or the crack between the house and the... And I love that. However, if during the next few weeks you have some tips or words of encouragement on following Jesus, I want to hear those too. Let me know what those might be. If I had a bucket list, which I don't, this would have been on my bucket list to preach. This is the fourth bucket I've filled already, so it is so cool. You guys know, as we have bucket lists, they are being done. They aren't just sitting there waiting to be done. We're all doing them all the time. So, God bless you all, and thank you for letting me speak today.